You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it was a disappointing evening at the... it's really hard not to say the Medeski Stadium. Into my head, that comes straight away. I guess I just call it the Select Stadium. It's so much easier just to say that. 3-2 defeat against Bristol City. That is two defeats out of our three league games this season. Not an ideal start. It was a pretty exciting match, but not in the right direction for us as Rolls supporters. But I've been joined by Jonathan Lowe from Berkshire Live. Hi, John.
Hi, good evening.
I've also joined by Nick Holton. Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, good. Thanks.
It was... the bad news we got in the morning was that Lucas Jow was going to be out. George Puskas came into the team. What do we think about his impact, kind of like morale-wise, when you see that he's in the team instead of Lucas Jow? We can come into his performance later, John. How do you feel when you hear that news?
You take a big sigh and think, oh dear, well, that's what I think. I'm afraid I just don't really rate him. I think he's been given more than enough opportunities. And I mean, who knows what his teammates think about him, but I'm sure they're slightly frustrated that he doesn't score more goals than he does. Probably I'd imagine the Bristol City players would have thought would have been rubbing their hands, because I'm sure they'd much rather face George Puskas than Lucas Jow out front. And sadly, we saw how big a miss Jow is and will be.
Yeah, totally. Those comments backed up by Panovic after the game, saying that even the opponents know that there's a difference in physicality when you've got Lucas Jow up front. He's got a presence, and, you know, talked about transfers and come on to that later as well. But talking about his performance then, Nick, a lot of comments about how many touches he made during the game. And that is one way of looking at it. Obviously, I understand that. But if you make, say, 20 touches in a match, but one of them sets up a goal, you've still been effective. You don't necessarily have to touch the ball repeatedly. But the thing is, I think with George Puskas at the moment, he's just not having any impact. And it's not just about last night, is it? It's about over the last 18 months or so. I'm sure it's not lack of effort. It's just not working for him, though.
Yeah, he's just not offering enough on the pitch. And I mean, like you said, it doesn't necessarily matter how many touches they have. Their job is to really put the ball in the net. I think you get a bit more than that with Jow most of the time, because he links up with other players really well. But I don't really think you get that from Puskas anyway. But when you look back at some of his performances he's had for us, the Wigan hat-trick, which, to be honest, was only a 15-minute spell. He wasn't very good in that game either. And the Cardiff goal that, you know, I've seen on Twitter, again retweeted today, we know what he can do. But then he's done it about three or four times. Mm. And I can't put my finger on why we can't get that on a consistent basis, and how we can show that in one game and then be completely useless in every other game. It's a bit baffling, really. And it really annoys me that we spent so much money on him for what we get back in return. so frustrating. I want him to do well, but I've just lost all faith in him, to be honest.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, the problem is we don't have any other options up there at the moment. I think maybe Aziz could go up there, but then you don't want to take a young player who's doing well in that position, John, do you? And then put him up there on his own, or do you think maybe that is the best option?
Well, as I say, I don't really rate Puskas, but there is no one, obviously no like-for-like replacement. You've got a couple of academy kids, but they're very unproven, untested. I mean, I would say Aziz is probably a better option up front than Puskas, but then who replaces Aziz in sort of the attacking midfield role? Again, there's not many options with obviously Ejaria out, losing Michael Olise. So again, you're kind of, yeah, you're not really improving the sort of the attacking threat of the side overall. So it's a very difficult one. I think the only solution is, well, the only salvation is the transfer window is still open, and hopefully, cross every finger that you got that they can somehow get a deal over the line and bring in a striker. But I mean, even then, it's not going to be a proven striker. I would have thought it's probably going to be some youngster. And the chance of them hitting the ground running is unlikely, to be honest.
You're bringing me down, John. You really are bringing me down there.
You're going to cut me off now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, your line's gone completely. But no, I understand everything you're saying. I think, yeah, it's really hard to disagree with, isn't it? But if we look at the game now, Nick, we started quite slowly, I felt. Not horrifically, which we've seen under some games and Reading in the last 3 or 4 years. But the first goal is just horrible. From a long throw, Chris Martin wins the flick. And people remember Chris Martin when he was at Reading and he didn't have a good spell. I would always point out that you just discovered that he had colitis at that point. So I think that is a massive issue he had then. But the marking at the far post wasn't any for Veyman, was there? There's none at all. It's just horrible.
Yeah, he seems to be doing some zonal marking right now. And even the Preston game the other day, they looked threatening from set pieces only. And I think the zonal marking is part of the reason why that was. And it's the same again here. And every time they had a free kick, they'd go to the back post, head it across goal. And every time they had a throw in, they'd go front post, flick it to the back post, and we're in trouble. And I think the first goal, I think it was Puskas and McIntyre between Chris Martin, and he sort of moved in front of Puskas, and neither won the header, flicks it on, and it's just there for the attacker to run on and knock it in. And I feel sorry for Raphael. He's completely exposed by his defence, really. Not necessarily the defence, but the team defending the set piece. And they've got to start games better than that and deal with these set pieces, because it's a real concern at the moment.
Yeah. Then we go and top it off, Nick, don't we, with a second one, not that long afterwards in the 15th minute. But, John, I thought that was a cheap free kick for Josh Laurent to be given away. Well, knowing our set piece issue at defending them, I'm not sure we can be doing that. But the defending afterwards, yet again, Morrison gets knocked out of position way too easily. And it's a free header there for them to score.
Yeah, it's absolutely far too easy. And it could easily have got quite ugly very, very quickly had they got a third, because the momentum was all with them. Reading looked totally shambolic all over the park defensively. And City were just cutting them open at set pieces. What annoys me at set pieces is that they bring every player back as well. Not one person stayed up top. So you've got all the players there. You just need to organise them properly. And whether that's, that is down to the manager primarily, but you've also got, you've got senior pros on there. You've got Liam Moore, Michael Morrison. They should be organising the team better. Raphael should probably be getting into their ears a bit more and telling them what to do and where to be when they're defending these long throws and corners, because, it's clearly a problem. Clearly they've got issues and clearly something needs to change. So, we can talk all day about learning lessons and improving the next game, but if it doesn't happen, then I think a lot of that goes on the manager, I'm afraid.
Do you think, John, the fact that O'Shea's left has been a big factor? Because last season, for the first 6 months or so at least, we were fantastic at defending against set pieces.
I don't think so, to be honest. I mean, it's hard to know who which coach does exactly what thing. I mean, naturally, O'Shea being a centre back doesn't necessarily mean that his teams are going to be absolutely rock solid defensively. I think they were quite shaky last season as well. And I think, as we saw over the second half of last season, there was some times when they looked very shaky defensively as well. So, no, I don't think it's got anything to do with John O'Shea, to be honest. I think it's just, it seems to be a general theme, really, for Reading over the past, who knows how many years, really. Sorry, I'm making this really depressing, aren't I? under Gomez, I guess understand they're pretty resolute, but under Gomez and Clement, they were very shaky defensively. I think Bowen got them a bit more organised, I would say. And under Paunovic, it's been a bit hit and miss, really. Sometimes they've looked absolutely formidable at the back. Other times, like last night, they've just looked absolutely atrocious. So I think it's more of an underlying theme. I can't put my finger on it. It's the same players, but for some reason they just can't do it on a consistent basis. Over the course of a couple of months, which is what you need at this level.
Yeah, one player we have there, which I think has had a huge impact on us, though, is Omar Richards at left back. A left back, we look a mess, an absolute disaster zone. Tom McIntyre, I mean, bless him, he's trying. I don't think it's lack of effort there yet again. I keep saying that, but he is not a left back, not by a long way. In whichever position you want to put him, left back, wing back, when he goes to cross the ball, it just looks horrible. It really, he has not got that natural body shape. And why would he? He's a centre half, so that's not his game, Nick. But one positive, though, that did come was the goal from Femi Azeez in the 19th minute. He just seems to be in the right position at the moment. Good build-up play down the left-hand side. So positively, we're going good in the other direction. Bristow with the assist. For me, Femi Azeez looks like he could be a really good talent for us.
Yeah, he's fantastic, isn't he? He feels like he's a fresh player in the team. Feels like a new signing. He kind of is in a way, because he stepped up from the academy and he's just stepped in so easily. I think he's going to score goals. He gets in good positions. I think he'll eventually start getting more involved in games. He didn't have much luck running in behind his six. Bristol City were quite deep. But he's a worker, he's a runner. I think fans are going to really like him. He's talented. I think he will score goals. He's different to Mate, but I think in a similar way, he'll score goals when maybe he doesn't have the best game. I think he's always going to pop in the right position like Mate does. So not quite to the same extent, but I think he can plug the gap there to an extent where we're going to miss out on those goals. I think, like you said, putting him up front, yeah, could definitely do a job up there, but who would go on the right side if that happened? The goal itself was great play from Bristow. He'll improve with games, I'm sure. He just needs to, I guess, get used to the senior level of football and the pace of the game. Funnily enough, Puskás missed the ball, should have scored. And what a finish from Azeez, to be fair, as well. He wasn't messing around with that finish. He just rifled it into that top corner. And he gave us a lifeline when it could have been a Bristol City rout, because at the time, we didn't deserve to score. They looked like they might get three or four goals from probably all from set pieces, and we were a bit of a mess. So, big relief. It got us in the game, and we had a chance. So, great to see. And another goal for Femi, so no complaints.
Yeah, I don't think we can underrate the finish, because I've seen strikers miss from there, especially when they're early in their career. I mean, it looks easy, but the way he manages to put it top corner, and no goalie's going to save that. And he just looks confident in front of goal. It looks like a player who will score goals. Yeah, he's going to miss them, obviously. And I agree with Alex, who was talking about this on the pod at the weekend, saying there is a touch of Mate in him, that sometimes he's going to take four or five chances to score a goal. But he's very young. I think you've got to give him time. And he feels like he's giving some kind of energy to the team. When he comes in front of goal, when he's got the ball, there's a little bit of excitement. It's a bit like when you saw Elise play with the ball last season. He hasn't got the same level of technique, and he's not going to get as many assists, but he just brings that something aura when you've got it. And being in the ground, you actually feel that. There's a difference there. But John, what the hell were we doing in that second half? That third goal by Veyman was just atrocious. Morrison loses the header quite near the halfway line. And I don't know what's going on there with our defenders. They are just nowhere near anyone. And it's really worrying that this seems to be becoming a trend. Seven goals conceded in the league in three games, and we could have conceded more as well.
Yeah, definitely. I watched that goal back again earlier on, and even when he took it round, when Weidman took it round Raphael, there were, you know, three players in front, three Reading players in front of him, you know, in and around the goal line, but still none of them could stop it, which kind of summed it up, really. As I say, I mean, as I alluded to, it's kind of back to the dark old days of Paul Clement defending and that horrific goal against, was it Burton, I think, on around Christmas time. And again, that theme of just straight after half time as well, conceding a goal, it just, you know, it puts you on the back foot, because, you know, 2-1, they had a good chance of getting back into the game. They finished the first half strongly. But City easily got that third goal, and just Reading had just given themselves too much to do. So, yes, it is a huge issue now that conceding, was it three goals in three of the first four games? On paper, that's Reading's strongest area. Mm. I looked again at the back line today, and you've got Moore, Morrison, Holmes, McIntyre, Yeardon, you know, Bristow, for all his faults, inexperienced, he's done all right. There are options there. But for whatever reason, they're just not clicking. And, whether it's the change in formation or, Liam Moore playing at the Gold Cup. So maybe he's not necessarily burnt out, but maybe, I don't know, some tarring because of that. Morrison had his injury near the end of last season. Maybe it's something that hangover from that. And I say we've got the left back issue as well is clear for all to see, and no doubt teams are targeting that area to exploit Reading in the final third. So there are a lot of issues defensively. Whether it's a case of just bringing a new player in, I don't know. Even two new players, I don't necessarily think that will just fix the problem. And that is why I'm not a football manager. Because I don't know.
It wouldn't mind the man. It wouldn't mind the wages, though, would you, John? That would be quite nice. I think the wages of being a manager would outweigh the negatives. I don't know, actually. But I think about that a lot. I'm not sure.
Only the running wages, probably, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. But then, all of a sudden, Liam Moore, what about 10 minutes to go or so, decides to turn in David Luiz kind of like style for a moment, doesn't he, Nick? I mean, it wasn't quite a David Luiz strike, let's be honest. When you see it back, goalie possibly might think he should have saved that, but who cares? It went in. We're back to 3-2. How shocked were you to see him score that goal? Because absolutely no way did I think you should shoot here, Liam. No part of me thought that at all. I 100% was thinking, do not shoot.
Yeah, he's, he's not known for his goal scoring for a defender. He does well to get sort of one a season since he's been here. I think maybe 2-1 season. He's now got two this season already, which is incredible, really. Like you said, it's not like him. I mean, he's trying to take free kicks most weeks as well, and he's hitting the wall. He gets up.
I was going to say now, Nick, do you think he's going to want to put himself back on free kicks? I just wonder. No.
He's got no right. I'd be furious if he tried to take one off of John Swift. But I think I'd rather see Raphael take them, to be honest. The way you put it in the net, good run, sort of pushed through Masengo, drove forward, used his body well, used his strength well, hit it, in the corner, but it was like slow motion, and maybe the keeper probably should have saved it. But it got us back in the game, and for all his faults in that game, Liam Moore, he got us back into the game and gave us all a lift, I guess. So in a way, did a bit of a captain's action. So fair play to him, and it gave us all a chance, a bit of hope. And for some reason, from that very moment he scored, we seemed to want to play well. So it's not the worst thing to happen. Two goals for Liam Moore as well. I just can't get my head around it.
No. I think one of the major reasons why we improved in that second half was the introduction of Tom Daley-Bachereau. I mean, I thought he had a pretty decent introduction to playing for Reading. He didn't light up the whole of the stadium. He didn't suddenly look like he was going to be messy. But he looked like he wanted to constantly go forward, and he looked like he wanted to find a teammate. And also, more importantly, he played a lot quicker. He wasn't hesitating and letting the opposition close him down all the time, John. So I think surely he's got to be starting on Saturday.
Yeah, I think without a doubt. I imagine he was giving that 45 minutes just to get up to speed, because he's only been in the building less than a week. I think it was last Thursday, wasn't it, that they got the deal over the line. So, yeah, I think I was very impressed with him. Looked sort of very determined to go forward, take on players, and like you say, got the pace of the game and tried to kind of haul Reading back into it. So clearly he's going to be maybe slightly nervous the first few games because of his knee injury and not wanting to aggravate that at all. But he played a few games over pre-season for Watford, I think, and did all right, and seems to have settled in well at Reading. So I think he'll have a point to prove. I think that'd be good for him, it'd be good for Reading. And I'm looking forward to seeing him feature, certainly hopefully from the off in the next few games.
Yeah, definitely had a touch of a jarry about him, Nick, didn't he? You looked at him and thought he's got a decent technique straight away. He looked confident on the ball. And after being out for so long, you're never going to be a full pace straight away. But we also saw the introduction of Jamari Clark. Now, okay, he's a 17-year-old striker. He came on for his first ever action. We can talk about the decision the manager's made there. He's brought him on to replace Puskas when we need a goal. But he had two very poor touches, Clark. Very poor. I can't hide away from that. But he's got the physicality. And we're at the point where we need someone up there who's going to be physical. It's desperate times. It's desperate times as a Reading fan. But I don't know. Which one would you go for? Jamari Clark. And what did you think of him? And would you start with Puskas on Saturday?
Yeah, I saw him warming up. And he's a monster, isn't he, for 17? He's absolutely huge. I don't think he was bad. I think, like you said, he had the size thing. Zhao's a big guy, big strong player, holds off defenders. And I know he's 17, but he was shrugging off a few men. Let's put it that way. He's a boy, and he was shrugging off men. A few very dodgy touches. I think his first touch, he rolled the defender and sort of knocked it 40 yards too far in front of him. But there was a couple of moments where he spun a guy just inside the box at one point, tried to get it across goal. It looks like a talent. I'm not sure I'd start him on Saturday. I wouldn't be against it. I don't think we've got anything to lose. But maybe we need to give Puskas that run to get up to speed. That's maybe what we need to do. And I'm not sure a lot of people agree with that. I'm not sure I agree with myself. But he needs that run of games to sort of get into the match practice. He was injured a lot last season, to be fair to him as well. And he was coming off the bench for 10 minutes here and there. He wasn't starting many games. And when he did start, he wasn't getting a second and third start. So it's hard to build up that run of form, I guess, and that match sharpness. So maybe if we're going to give Puskas some benefit of a doubt, maybe that's it. So I'd maybe start him the next two games, but I would not be against Jamari Clark getting a go. But it's a big ask for a 17-year-old to come in and expect him to do a job. But physicality-wise, he's exciting. I like the look of him, but he does need to improve on his touch for sure.
Yeah, maybe some of that was nerves as well. I mean, I understand it's a big situation for him to come into. Imagine playing as a 17-year-old. There's like 14,000 people there. You want to get a goal. You're desperate. All of a sudden, you're overthinking everything. So these things can happen. Rafael then makes a really good save later on to keep the score respectable, I suppose. It'd be better to lose 3-2 than 4-2. It's irrelevant, really. We still lose. But that's a positive from it. But we then move into the game that's coming up on Saturday, Coventry away. How do you think that's going to go, John?
I think it's a tough one. I think Coventry, I can't remember Coventry's results. I think they've had a fairly decent start to the season, haven't they? You've probably got the facts in front of you. But I think Michael Morrison was talking about post-match last night about wanting some revenge because of the beat there last season, which ended their winning unbeaten starts of the season. So I think it'd be an interesting clash. I think probably a point would probably be a good result. It's a tough one, obviously definitely being without Zhao in it and the Jaria now. Big misses from the team. Hopefully that they can offer enough going forward because, you know, that they are creating chances and there are goal threats still in the team. It's just whether they can keep things tight at the back. I imagine that will be, and that certainly should be the priority. So I imagine it should be a much tighter game than we've seen in the past couple of weeks. And I'm sure that they probably just take a point and use that kind of as a building block going forward. It's the end of hectic in inverted commas first couple of weeks of the season, Saturday, Tuesday. So there might be a few tired bodies out there, but I think tight game, but I think a draw would probably suit Reading.
Yeah, I'd rather take a draw right now, wouldn't you, Nick? I mean, it's a point on the board. You're moving forward. Coventry got two wins now, haven't they? They won last night as well. They got a win on the first day of the season against Nottingham Forest with a 97th minute winner as well. I must point out that Jamari Clark is 18. Jonathan has told me that via the chat, so I appreciate that. That's why you're a journalist and I'm not. But yes,
Nick. He was 18 yesterday.
Oh, okay. So if we'd have done this yesterday, I would have been all right. So, Nick, what's your score prediction for Saturday then, and how do you think it's going to go?
I have a feeling we might not do too well. I think Tom Delibashir is going to come in to start on the left. I'd like to think Bristow might play with McIntyre left back and just give him a chance. But Coventry on a bad side. They've got 6 points already, like you said. I just don't think we look very solid at the moment. And away from home, if you're not solid, it's trouble, and you've got the fans back and they're going to be pushing Coventry on, and it's not going to be an easy game. I think they're going to do okay, Coventry, this year, to be honest. I think once players are back and maybe we get some signings in, I'll be a bit more confident with away games. I don't think we'll get smashed. I think we'll maybe lose 2-1, but I'd love it if we just got a point. That'd be just a positive point. I'd be happy with that. I don't mean to sound too negative, but I feel like we're going to lose 2-1.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely spot on, but I'm going to try and end it with a bit of positivity, if only I can speak. I'm going to say we're going to win 2-1. That's based on absolute blind faith, which a lot of this podcast is based on since I've ever started it. That is a theme if you're a Reading fan. If you're listening to that, you'll totally understand that. So thanks a lot for listening. We will be back with a preview show with Matt Williamson hosting it before the game. That'll be out on Friday afternoon. We'll also have a post-match one probably on Sunday after the Coventry match. So cheers. Thanks a lot.